Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. 11 o'clock, or just after 11 o'clock, has arrived for the commencement of our annual general meeting. My name is John O'Neill, and as chairman of the board of directors, I welcome you to the Star Entertainment Group Limited 6th annual general meeting of shareholders. Just before we commence proceedings today, I would like to take a moment on behalf of the Star Entertainment Group, the board and management, to offer our heartfelt condolences to the families and friends of those involved in the Dreamworld tragedy. Also to the entire Gold Coast community, which Jupiter's has been a part of for 31 years, our thoughts and prayers are with you at this most difficult time. Now, there are some housekeeping matters to attend to. Firstly, this meeting is being webcast live. To ensure that the communication systems are not interfered with, could I ask that you please turn off all mobile telephones and electronic devices? Secondly, also for those shareholders who drove here today, we have provided complimentary car parking. The car park boom gates will remain open all day. I'll now turn to the formalities of the meeting. With a quorum present, the meeting is properly constituted, and I formally declare the meeting open. The notice of meeting was sent to all shareholders on the 23rd of September 2016, and copies of the notice were also available at the registration desk this morning. I'll therefore take the notice of meeting as read. I would like to begin by introducing our board of directors. I will ask each director to stand as I introduce them. With me today are Matt Bekier, our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and our non-executive directors, Katie Leahy, Richard Shepherd, Jared Bradley, Sally Pitkin, and Greg Hayes. Also with us today are Paula Martin, our Company Secretary, Chad Barton, our Chief Financial Officer, and John Robinson, the Company's Audit Partner from Ernst & Young for the 2016 financial year. Members of our Executive Management Team are also in attendance today in the audience. Before we proceed to the items of business for the meeting, I would like to present my address and report to the company, and I will then ask our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, to provide his report. Again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the company's 6th annual general meeting and the first as the Star Entertainment Group under the company's single brand strategy unveiled at last year's AGM. Before I turn to the strategic outlook and a performance review for FY16, let me deal with the issue that I'm sure many of you are wanting some clarity and commentary about. Like everyone else, we are aware Crown has 18 people detained by Chinese authorities. We have no information as to why or for how long those Crown employees and others will be detained. I can tell you, the Star Entertainment Group has no offices in mainland China. We have had no staff members detained or questioned by Chinese authorities. We work within parameters as determined by the Chinese authorities in the same way we comply with rules and regulations in every other market in which we operate. The VIP business delivers less than 30% of the group's gross revenue and 16% of EBITDA. Around 80% of this revenue is derived from junkets out of Asia. These are early days in terms of the situation in China. We will continue to monitor developments closely while working with staff and Asian-based external agents to understand the situation more fully as it unfolds. I hope that provides some context for you on the situation as it relates to us at the Star Entertainment Group. I will now move on, and as reported to shareholders in this year's annual report, the 2016 financial year was another year of earnings growth, improved performance, and delivery against strategic priorities in order to continue to position the company for future growth. It is through this sustained delivery of financial performance and strategic priorities, with strong and stable leadership in place, that the company is positioned to achieve its vision to be Australia's leading integrated resort company. Those in attendance today can witness firsthand the redevelopment we're achieving here at Jupiter's, in line with the strategic priority to deliver on the capital program for our Gold Coast property. The internal transformation of the existing hotel complex is nearing completion, and the new luxury hotel, which you would have seen as you drove in, is taking shape at the front of Broadbeach Island, on schedule, and to be completed in time for the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games, which will be a fantastic event. We're also excited to be bringing the Star brand to the new look Gold Coast property early in 2017, reflecting the quality of offering now available here and the step change we have made at this iconic integrated resort. Our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier, will provide more detail on the plans we are executing against in Sydney, here at the Gold Coast, and of course in Brisbane, on the Queen's Wharf project with our partners, Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium. The depth and strength of the relationship with these partners is also enabling us to leverage our respective capabilities to explore further opportunities. Turning now to the company's performance for FY16. A robust approach to more of the same ensured ongoing momentum in the business, while more broadly, solid progress on projects at each of the company's properties was intrinsically aligned to our vision. Matt will provide more detail on the financial results for FY16. However, I will briefly touch on a couple of highlights. The 2016 financial year saw a 14.9% increase in statutory net profit after tax to $194.4 million. This represents a 33% compound annual growth rate over the last 3 years. Statutory earnings before interest, depreciation and amortisation, EBITDA, were $488.8 million. These were solid results with broad-based growth. Acknowledging the imperative to continue delivering benefit to shareholders, the board declared a final dividend of 7.5 cents per share, taking total dividends for the year to 13 cents per share, fully franked. This was up 18% on the previous year and reflected a payout ratio of 55% of statutory NPAT. The strategy of investing in the company's integrated resorts continues to provide benefits for shareholders. Of particular note is the fact that the financial results were achieved right across the group as transformational projects either underway or planned at each of the three properties continued to progress. This was achieved with ongoing stability in an established management team led expertly by our Managing Director and CEO, Matt Bekier. Their focus was delivering on strategic projects to position our properties within their incredible good locations. We continue to capitalise on the opportunities presented to us by the nature of great locations for our tourism assets in Sydney, Brisbane, and right here on the Gold Coast, and macroeconomic conditions that point to existing rates of inbound tourism, particularly from China, continuing long term. As mentioned at last year's AGM, the board has ongoing confidence in the value of all our long-term casino licences and the value they can help bring to the broader community in terms of employment, gaming taxes, and other economic or community contributions. Earlier, I noted the transformational projects underway at each of the company's three properties. In Brisbane, we as part of the Destination Brisbane Consortium, continue to work closely with the Queensland Government to finalise the planning and development approval process with a target to start work on-site early in 2017. During this year, roadshows around Queensland have been conducted to showcase the potential opportunities associated with the project once the Queen's Wharf Brisbane Integrated Resort is operational. In Sydney, we have been upgrading the existing hotel rooms and facilities, as well as premium gaming areas and a new restaurant, the Harvest Buffet. As previously announced, working with our Destination Brisbane Consortium partners, Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium, we also have plans to increase investment at the Star in Sydney. The potential investment is a further $500 million to add much-needed new hotel rooms, food and beverage offerings, and other resort attractions. A design competition involving three world-class architectural firms has been in progress, along with a community engagement program, to ensure the design for the new tower and associated developments will enhance the Star as a destination for locals and tourists alike. Matt will this morning provide an update on how that design competition is progressing. More on that shortly. Right here on the Gold Coast, we are particularly excited to be in the final stages of the planning and development approval processes with the state government for stage one of the master plan for the property after receiving full endorsement from the Gold Coast City Council last month. The broader master plan for the property includes potential operations for up to five hotel and residential towers, a world-class recreational deck and tropical gardens accentuating the idyllic beauty of the Gold Coast location. This development will create a tourism destination of truly enviable standards. We'll be working with Chow Tai Fook and Far East to promote and leverage this compelling offering via their visitor distribution channels right throughout Asia. The benefits derived from the opportunity to work with partners of such calibre and expertise as Chow Tai Fook and Far East Consortium were clear in FY16. The relationship continues to strengthen, as emphasised by their willingness to joint venture with us beyond the Queen's Wharf Brisbane transformation. I'm delighted they are also partnering with us on exciting developments in both Sydney and right here at the Gold Coast. In parallel with the capital program, we are investing in our people. Matt will provide more detail on some of the initiatives and achievements we have been part of during FY16. In closing, I'm pleased to report in FY16, we continued to enjoy ongoing momentum in the business. We are really focused upon maintaining this and the efficiency of the business operations whilst progressing delivery of strategic priorities, including the significant pipeline of capital projects with our development partners for the benefit of our shareholders. I extend my personal thanks to the committed directors of the Star Entertainment Group, and on behalf of the Board of Directors, can I extend our gratitude to all of our shareholders for their ongoing support. As I hand over to our Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Matt Bekier, this is also a day where our Capital Works program in Sydney prepares to take another significant step forward. We will unveil the winner of the Design Excellence competition in the next few weeks. Before Matt provides additional detail around that, please enjoy these fly-throughs of the proposed new Ritz-Carlton Hotel and residential tower in Sydney as brought to life by our three contending architects. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You have just seen the fly-throughs of these three designs that have been submitted by BBN, FGMT, and Grimshaw's three architectural firms. All three are participating in the Design Excellence competition for the proposed Ritz-Carlton Tower at The Star in Sydney. Initially, we were hoping that today would be a very special day where we could announce the winner. However, in working with the three firms and taking into consideration the feedback that we've received from the community and from the broader stakeholder groups, there's further work that is going into each one of these schemes. A five-person design review panel will reconvene on the project, and we expect to announce the winning architect around the end of November. The preferred architectural firm will then go forward and work up a final design for submission to the Department of Planning. In addition to luxury hotel rooms and apartments, this proposed development will double the food and beverage outlets to give us greater variety of food venues across all price points and cuisines. Overall, it will be a compelling restaurant precinct that will add to The Star's appeal as a tourism and leisure destination. We'll also use this opportunity to better integrate the property into the transport network around Piedmont. The Sydney development, pending all necessary approvals, is another exciting opportunity for us to continue building value for shareholders. We operate in a globally competitive industry. We have learned that to remain relevant, we need to keep investing to ensure that our properties are must-go destinations for domestic and international visitors. Tourism, especially from Asia, is a long-term growth driver for Australia. Australia needs more quality hotels and exciting entertainment and hospitality infrastructure. This is where this development in Sydney becomes relevant. Before I move on, I would like to thank the architectural firms that are contesting in the Design Excellence competition in Sydney. I also want to thank the Design Review Panel for their time and commitment. While we await the winner of the competition, the planning process will continue with ongoing engagement with the community and other stakeholders. The final design will be lodged with the Department of Planning during the first half of next financial year. Let me now turn to the financial results. Our financial results for 2016 were released in August. As John mentioned, statutory EBITDA was $449 million, up 7.5% on the prior period. Normalized EBITDA increased by 14.1% to $556 million. Statutory net profit after tax for the group was $194 million, up 14.9% on the previous year. Revenue growth for 2016 was again driven by increases across every gaming segment of our business. Actual gross revenues across the group grew 4.4% to $2.4 billion. The Star Sydney grew by 7.5% and the Queensland properties declined by 2.2%. The result in Queensland was impacted by disruptions caused by the major capital investment projects throughout this year, particularly in the Gold Coast, as you would have seen coming into the building. The international VIP rebate business recorded good growth in 2016 with turnover of $49.5 billion. Actual revenue was up 1.3% to $596 million and up 7.2% to $670 million on a normalized basis. We were pleased with the performance of our team in this business, given that the result was achieved despite challenging global market conditions and without compromising our credit risk standards. Operating expenses were up 4.2% to $961 million, driven primarily by the increased volumes in the international VIP rebate business and increased investments that we're making into loyalty and marketing. But our continued improving financial performance has been accompanied by broader achievements within the business, and we're very, very proud of these achievements. For example, here at the Gold Coast, Kiomi received the title of Australia's Best New Restaurant and Best Prestige Restaurant in Queensland for its cutting-edge Japanese cuisine. The new Garden Kitchen and Bar received international recognition for its design, and only last month was named Best Restaurant in the Accommodation Hotels category at the Queensland Hotel Association Awards. In Sydney, The Star received 26 awards during 2016, spanning restaurants, bars, The Star's event centre and hotels. David Chang's Momofuku restaurant was awarded two chef's hats in the Sydney Morning Herald's Good Food Guide and crowned the number one restaurant in Australia by Gourmet Traveller magazine. These awards recognise talented people. Across the group, There are more than 8,500 team members in many different roles, all working towards our shared vision of becoming Australia's leading integrated resort company. We continue to invest in our staff and to develop them to deliver better outcomes for shareholders and for our guests. We are pleased to see graduates emerging from the Queensland Hotel and Hospitality School, a partnership that we started with the TAFE in Queensland. We continue to work with the Macquarie Graduate School of Management, where we are funding partners of the Women in MBA program and where we currently have 5 employees enrolled. Proudly, our focus on diversity and inclusion delivered the company's bronze status for the first time in the Australian Workplace Equality Index. In 2016, there were also significant initiatives in our approach to guest excellence and separately in sustainability. Star Quality is a guest services program that provides the foundation for a guest-centric, service-focused culture. A company-wide rollout commenced in March 2016, starting with the leaders, including all senior executives. As of today, over half of our 8,500 team members have attended the program. Pleasingly, we've also witnessed continued and significant improvement in our internal engagement results. We had a record engagement rate of 62% for the group in 2016. That compares to 49% in 2014 and 58% in 2015. 2016 also saw the development of a 5-year sustainability strategy that feeds seamlessly into our overall business objectives. For example, over the last 2 years, we've increased our recycling rates from 20 to 33%, and we've cut our carbon emissions per guest by 8%. I would also like to say how proud we are to be ranked as the global leader of casino and gaming industry in the latest assessment for the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. The assessment panel gave us maximum scores in the areas of anti-crime policy and measures and for promoting responsible gambling. At the last AGM, I spoke about tourism and how it represented a significant opportunity for this company and for Australia as a nation. Recent figures show that there is no sign of a slowdown in the visitation trends. For example, the spend of Chinese tourists was up 27% on last year. It's up to $8.9 billion now. That figure represents almost 25% of the entire spend by foreign visitors to Australia. So the tourism boom continues, and continued expansion investment in our properties will allow us to maximize our share of the domestic and international wallet. Our capital investment strategy is a pure tourism play, targeting guests from a range of markets at different price points. We are developing world-class integrated resorts for locals, interstate, and international guests, and we are mindful of the requirements of the ever-increasing number of Asians, particularly Chinese, that are coming to Australia. At Queen's Wharf in Brisbane, it is projected that the development, which includes 5 hotels, 50 new bars, restaurants, cafes, and 12 football fields of public space, will drive an additional 1.4 million visits per annum to Brisbane. It was for Queen's Wharf that we entered a joint venture with our Hong Kong partners, Charter Fulk and Faris Consortium. That partnership has now extended to developments here at the Gold Coast and in Sydney, developments that will reach investment levels of close to $5 billion. Our share of that investment will be around $2.24 billion. I'm delighted to say that we are progressing well on the Substantial Capital Works program that will enhance our properties and therefore position the company for future growth and delivering ongoing value for shareholders. I've already mentioned the Sydney development plans. Here at the Gold Coast, we are well advanced on the complete refurbishment of the 600 rooms at the existing hotel and the replacement works in the hotel lobby. The 6-star hotel at the front of the property is now under construction, and it's on target for completion before the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. We're also awaiting final approvals for a 700-key hotel and residential tower here in the Gold Coast to be developed in a joint venture with our partners. At Queen's Wharf, we expect access to the site in the new year when we will commence demolition of non-heritage buildings and start the underground excavation works. These are all investments that will underpin our long-term growth. They come at a cost in the short term because of the disruption they cause, but the financial success of our previous investment programs is giving us the confidence that this strategy leads to long-term shareholder value. We have now completed our first year under the name of the Star Entertainment Group. The Star Sydney has been rebranded, Jupiter's will transition to the Star Gold Coast next year, and the Star Brisbane will come into effect when Queen's Wharf becomes operational. The advantages of this consolidated brand will be further evidenced next month when we launch our new loyalty program, which we've named the Star Club. Guests will be able to play with one card, whether they're visiting our integrated resort in Sydney or either one of our two properties in Queensland, and they'll be able to earn and redeem points pretty much across all our offerings. This is an initiative which has the potential to make a significant contribution to the organization as it complements the investments we're making into the physical properties and the investments we're making into customer service. Let me now turn to the trading update. For the period of the 1st of July to the 22nd of October, actual group revenues are up 12.8% on the same period last year, while normalized total group revenue is down 2%. Domestic revenue, which excludes international VIP play, is flat to last year. The domestic business was impacted by an unusually low win rate in private gaming room tables of 15.9%, whereas it was 17.2% last year. This can occur over short periods of time. Disruption from the development work in the Gold Coast and Sydney has also impacted visitation numbers and customer spend negatively. This disruption work is starting to fall away now, and it is not expected to have any material impact on the second half of the year. The international business is showing satisfactory volumes and an unusually strong win rate in this year to date. It's 1.66% versus a normalized win rate of 1.35%. The situation in China has understandably created some uncertainty, and potential impact on revenue in the international VIP business is not clear at this point, given the very limited information that is available to us. Let me turn to the priorities for 2017. They are clear. First, we have to secure planning approvals in Sydney and the Gold Coast to pursue our projects in partnership with Charter Hall and Far East. Second, we need to deliver on the next stage of the capital development program in all our properties. Third, we need to continue the drive to differentiate our value proposition at each one of our properties through our brand, through our loyalty program, our customer service, and our food and beverage offerings. And finally, we need to improve earnings across the group through continued focus on operations and efficiency, and we need to successfully launch the new gaming and non-gaming product that is now under development. In closing, I would like to thank the board, my management team, and all the team members. Their contributions, commitment, and enthusiasm has been valued and deeply appreciated. The performance of the group this past year was not achieved by chance. We have a dedicated workforce that helps welcome more than 20 million guests each year and delivers them thrilling experiences. It is that mindset which will ensure that our guests return. Thank you. I will now pass back to John for the formal business of today's meeting.
Thanks very much, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, we now come to the formal business of the meeting. There are some procedural matters to cover, so I ask for your patience. Each of the resolutions put to the meeting will be moved in the order that they are set out in the notice of meeting, and the resolution will then be open for discussion. As this is a meeting of the Star Entertainment Group Limited shareholders, only shareholders, their appointed proxies, or corporate representatives are entitled to make comments, ask a question, or vote. All other attendees are very welcome as observers. You'll be given the opportunity to ask questions in relation to the financial statements and the resolutions to be considered by the meeting. Shareholders with questions relating to specific resolutions are requested to ask them at the time the resolution is being considered. If you wish to make a comment or ask a question, you will need to make your way to a microphone at the appropriate time. Please show your green or yellow admission card to our microphone attendant and state your name, and if you are a proxy or a corporate representative, the name of the shareholder you represent before asking your question. Some shareholders have previously submitted their questions on the question form that was provided with the notice of meeting. I will address some of the more frequently raised questions and topics when we get to the relevant item of business. Turning to voting, when voting on the resolutions, please use your green card. If there are any shareholders who are eligible to vote at this meeting who have not received a green card, please see a representative from Link Market Services at the registration desk on the mezzanine level now. Each joint shareholding is only entitled to vote its shares once. So if two or more joint holders are attending today's meeting, only the vote of the joint shareholder whose name is recorded first in the register will be counted. If you are the non-voting joint shareholder or a shareholder who has already voted by direct voting prior to the meeting, you will have received a yellow non-voting card. If you hold a yellow card, you may speak at this meeting but not vote. Visitors holding a red card are not eligible to vote or speak at this meeting. I would like to advise that, except in relation to the resolutions in items 2, 5 and 6, all officers of the Star Entertainment Group Limited who have been appointed as proxy with discretion as to how they will vote as proxy holder, including myself as chairman, intend to vote all such shares in favour of all resolutions. Also, I remind shareholders that there may be restrictions on certain shareholders' eligibility to vote on specific resolutions. These restrictions were set out in the notice of meeting. In the interest of transparency of votes, as chairman, I am directing that all resolutions be conducted by a poll today. This will ensure fairness to all shareholders by taking into account all proxy votes and direct votes that have been cast in addition to the votes of shareholders who are in attendance at this meeting. I will now open the poll. If you need to leave early, you can still vote by completing your voting card and placing it in one of the ballot boxes near the exits. If you have any questions about how to complete the voting card, please see a representative of the share registry. As we commence discussion on the relevant item in the notice of meeting, the total number of valid proxy votes and direct votes received for that item and the manner in which they have been directed will be displayed on the screen. These figures will be as at the closing time for receipt of proxies, which was 11 a.m. on the 26th of October. The total number of proxies and direct votes received and the voting results for each resolution will be released to the ASX after the meeting. I now turn to the items of business in the order set out in the notice of meeting. Item 1, financial statements and reports. The first item on the agenda is to receive and consider financial statements and reports of the directors and of the auditor in respect of the year ended the 30th of June 2016. These documents are contained in the annual report, which was sent to those shareholders who requested a copy and is available on the company's website. The financial statements have been approved by the directors and were audited by Ernst & Young. As required by the Corporations Act, the directors lay before the meeting the financial report, the director's report, and the independent audit report for the financial year 30th of June 2016. As mentioned earlier, John Robinson, the Ernst & Young partner responsible for the audit and who signed the independent auditor's report on the 26th of August 2016, is present today and available to answer any questions relevant to the conduct of the audit, the preparation and content of the independent auditor's report, the accounting policies adopted by the company in relation to the preparation of the financial statements, and lastly, the auditor's independence in relation to the conduct of the audit. Shareholders had the opportunity to submit written questions to the auditor prior to the meeting. Two questions were received from a shareholder, and the auditor has responded directly. I now invite questions from shareholders regarding the financial statements and reports and the performance of the company. This is your opportunity to raise any questions that you may have about the company's operations in the last financial year. At this time, I will also take questions or comments about the management of the company. I encourage anyone who has a question or comment on the performance of the company to raise it now, as there won't be another question time at the end of the meeting.
Hello, my name is Silvana Eccles and I'm here today as the corporate proxy representative from the Australian Shareholders Association.
Welcome.
Unfortunately, Carol Limmer, who you've been engaging with, is on holiday, so I'm here as her in her place.
Welcome.
Thank you. On behalf of the ASA, we'd like to compliment the Star Entertainment Group for your sound financial results over the last 2.5 years. And we'd also like to acknowledge your corporate social responsibility well set out in your annual report. We also note the significant contribution by your joint venture partners to develop your properties, new properties as well, in Brisbane, the Gold Coast and Sydney. Just have a query. We just wonder how your joint venture partners will be recouping their capital investments down the track.
Well, in the Brisbane joint venture, we have 50% of the joint venture. Chow Tai Fook and Far East have 25% each. The other projects that we've alluded to, both here and in Sydney, the structure of the joint ventures in precise terms have yet to be determined. But just sticking to the Queen's Wharf project, the Destination Brisbane consortium, their recoupment of their investment is based basically on their own return on invested capital metrics. They have a particular interest in residential apartments, where they are carrying the risk, not us, and there is provision for in the agreements with the government for those apartments to be sold or constructed then sold over quite a long period of time. So I can't speak for the precise metrics that Chow Tai Fook and Far East are using. We can only talk about the metrics being used for Star Entertainment Group.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce Donald Gregson, who is attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Thank you. I'd just like to address the auditor, Mr. Robinson, from Ernst & Young. My first question is, according to Mr. O'Neill, Ernst & Young compiled the financial report and the independent auditor's report. In that case, there might be a conflict of interest, quintessentially. And number two, it's normal corporate practice to change the auditors every 5 years. Is that happening with Star Entertainment Group, please?
I can speak to the latter. We, as I said at the outset, this company, Star Entertainment Group, is only 5 years old. The board has not had any formal discussions around the subject of the auditor as to whether we go to tender or not, but that's a question we'll take on notice. Is John Robinson... There he is.
Thanks, Donald, for your question. John Robinson's my name. I'm the statutory auditor. We have to confirm our independence from the Star Entertainment Group every year as a consequence of our role as a statutory auditor. I confirmed by virtue of the declaration on the 26th of August, which is contained in the Director's Report, that we are indeed independent in regards to the work that we actually undertake as a statutory auditor. In regards to the second question that you did ask, there's no requirement for mandatory rotation of the audit firms after 5 years. There is a requirement under the Corporations Act for the rotation of the partner after 5 years, and that can also be extended for a further 2 years at the request of the organisation as well. Thank you for your questions.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Ian Timmins, who is attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Yes, both Star and Crown are putting a lot of effort into getting foreign investors or foreign gamblers to come over here and spend money. Just prior to the last meeting that we had at this casino, the company was ripped off by several million dollars by fraudulent activity from overseas gamblers. Star, or Echo as it was then, were instigating legal action to try to recover some of that money, and I don't know how they expected to get it when they didn't even know who the people were. But has there been any further incidents of these foreign gamblers ripping the company off with fraudulent names and credit ratings and so forth? And if and was the company able to recover any of the money that was ripped off in that previous incident way back?
I'm not able to answer with precision as to whether we've recovered funds. I'll turn to Matt in a moment. But no, we've had no experience in recent times with incidents of the sort that you've described around fraudulent names. Our processes, risk assessment, the separation of the assessment of credit and away from the sales process is very rigidly adhered to. Our upfront credit assessment is reviewed constantly. It's very similar to banking, where the customer has to be scrutinised as to whether they're creditworthy, and the board and management are extremely attentive to maintaining the best processes and procedures we can in that space. I'll just turn to Matt in terms of the previous bad debts.
Look, two observations. The first one is, unfortunately, dishonesty seems to be a human quality, and that pops up across everybody's life and everybody's business career. When we have guests who try to defraud us, we take that extremely seriously, and we take all steps to retain the position for the company. In most cases, that will involve also legal proceedings, and so I'd rather not comment on the specific nature of the inquiry. The second point is, we have strengthened, as the chairman has referenced, we have strengthened our supervisory and compliance function by adding a chief risk officer and building out a team underneath the chief risk officer to monitor the behavior of the players very, very closely. And that's giving us confidence that, we will pick up any fraud very quickly, and then we can prosecute it through all avenues. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to introduce Noel Bentley, who is attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Referring to the first question by the ASA, you mentioned about the Brisbane development, Stars 50%, the others are 25% each. But towards the end, it appeared that Star is not involved in the residential. It's only the other two contenders or partners.
That's correct. I mean,
let me explain. Star is not selling residential rooms.
We'd be part of
that. Observation is correct. The joint venture in Brisbane has a couple of components. The integrated resort component is what the chairman was talking about, 50% for us, 25% for the other two partners each. On top of that, we are the managers, and we extract the management fee out of their proceedings. That's how we recover our earnings. And our joint venture partners get a return on their investment through the residual of Queen's Wharf, the integrated resort. The residential component,
We've left that entirely with our partners. We wish them well. We hope they're going to make lots of money. But this is not, it's not our problem. It's not our opportunity.
Okay, that being the case, do they have any involvement in the casino side of the business?
No.
Not in the operation of the casino. They are shareholders in the funding vehicle of the integrated resort in Brisbane.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Nola Hall, who is attending today's meeting as a shareholder.
I guess my question is just a minor question, but it relates to hotel occupancy. I understand that Absolute Rewards members from Pearl Up receive rather generous complimentary accommodation twice a year in the hotels, or any of your, to be taken out in any of your hotels, and I just wondered what numbers they were that was an occupancy rate number.
Look, it's actually a commercially very sensitive number, and you know, the distribution of our customer base to the various tiers is something that we don't talk to our investors about, because it's a very commercially sensitive number.
I realise that, but I do go to the Brisbane casino. I'm only a Red Plus member, but whenever I go there, there's always people saying they're taking their nights out in all the different casinos in Sydney and that. And my next question is, as a shareholder, I request you consider a more generous accommodation rate for shareholders to attend your meeting. We live Sunshine Coast. We went to the Star in Sydney last year. We've come to yours, but the accommodation rates, when I looked the other day, were $201 a night, and I think we get 10% off, which is the same rate that I think someone who walks in off the street and can get a rewards card at any of your casinos, they would get 10% off. As a shareholder, I feel that we get nothing at all for accommodation rates when we attend the meeting. Years ago, when I've been a member since 84, when Jupiter's floated, and we were given at that stage, I think, tickets to the theatre and that, and we once used to get really lovely buffet lunch. Now shareholders really get nothing. We don't get anything like your Absolute Rewards members get. I do go to Brisbane Casino, and, well, a lot of money is given out there, $10,000 to... I realise that you're encouraging the people to come and spend money, but to me, I think too much money is given out to all your black card holders and all that, and nothing is given back to shareholders at all. We don't even get... I'm not staying here. I'm staying down at the Mercure Resort at Palm Meadows, because I refuse to pay $200, less 10%, to stay here without breakfast. And during the year, a lot of people on What If can get $129 with buffet breakfast, and we as shareholders come here to your meeting and really get nothing. That's all.
Thank you. Can I take that question on notice regarding shareholder benefits? Take the question very seriously. Jeff Hogg, Managing Director of our Queensland properties, is here today. We do have a very nice lunch prepared today in one of our new restaurants, Cucina Vivo. And over lunch, Jeff and myself and Matt can have a chat to you about shareholder benefits.
Yes, we do. We do hold shares in the Reef Casino in Cairns. And I think it was my prompting a couple of years ago, and they do offer a good accommodation rates. It's a five-star hotel too, and they do give us a buffet breakfast. So we usually go to Cairns to that, not just for the meeting, but it's just a good excuse, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you very much. Thank you. As there are no more questions, I will now move to the next agenda item, the remuneration report. The next item on the agenda is the company's remuneration report in respect to the financial year ended the 30th of June 2016. The report, which forms part of the director's report, can be found on pages 53 to 72 in the 2016 annual report. The report contains considerable detail about the company's remuneration strategy and policy and directors' and executives' remuneration. I note that a shareholder vote on this resolution is advisory only and does not bind the directors of the company. It is, however, an important process, and we take seriously the level of support that is received and the matters that are raised. Under the Corporations Act, if 25% or more of votes that are cast are voted against the adoption of the remuneration report at two consecutive annual general meetings, shareholders will be required to vote at the second of those AGMs on a spill resolution. I am pleased to advise that since this requirement was introduced, the company consistently received favourable votes for its annual remuneration reports. For the 2015 remuneration report, 97.53% of votes were in favour. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. I note that as chairman of the meeting, I'm permitted to vote undirected proxies on item two if a shareholder has appointed me as their proxy and, as provided in the shareholder voting form, has expressly authorised me to vote on this item, even though the resolution is connected directly or indirectly with the remuneration of members of the key management personnel at the Star Entertainment Group. I note that no votes may be cast on this item by members of the key management personnel of the company or their closely related parties, unless the vote is cast by them as directed as a proxy for a person who is entitled to vote on this item. As indicated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of this resolution. I mentioned earlier that there were some common questions from shareholders that have come in already related to the amount of remuneration, the value of short and long-term incentives paid to executives. I'd just like to provide an answer to that. I note that, like many organisations, we compete for talent. The levels of remuneration are in part connected to demand and supply factors for key talent. Our approach to remuneration for executives takes into account comparable ASX-listed organisations with a similar market cap, as well as appropriate industry peers. Star Entertainment Group's reward programs are directly linked to performance. In FY12 and 13, when performance of the company was suboptimal, no incentives were paid under the short-term programs. Similarly, for the long-term equity awarded in FY12 that was tested in FY14, as performance was not in line with targets, this award was forfeited in its entirety. In FY16, the performance of the company was above expectation, and the remuneration philosophy is designed to reward superior performance. All executives met or exceeded their targets for FY16, and therefore bonuses were paid. Are there any questions regarding the company's 2016 remuneration report? We also have Sally Pitkin, who's the chairman of our remuneration committee, available to help you with questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a comment, not a question. We'd like to compliment the Star Entertainment Group for showing the actual as well as the statutory remuneration in the annual report, as well as the four-year performance hurdles for LTI. We'd just like to ask that the board consider taking a step to moving from moderated fair value to market value on LTI allocations and adopting a more robust vesting hurdle for TSR. Example, 25% vesting at the 50th percentile rather than 50% vesting at the 50th percentile. Thank you.
No, thank you. In our meeting with Carol, she mentioned that very point, and we've taken it on to examine in the coming year. Thank you. Are there any more questions? As there are no more questions, I now move that the remuneration report, which forms part of the director's report in respect of the year ended 30th of June, be adopted. This is an ordinary resolution which requires a majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote on the resolution or by their appointed proxy or authorised representative. As I mentioned earlier, in the interest of transparency of votes, voting on all resolutions will be conducted by a poll today. In addition, given the potential impact that the votes on the advisory resolution regarding the remuneration report may have on next year's AGM, your board believes it's appropriate that the voting on this item be conducted by poll rather than by a show of hands. I'll provide more instructions for the poll after we deal with the remaining resolutions set out in the notice of meeting. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either for or against in the box next to item 2 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. The share registry will collect your voting cards at the end of the meeting. Items 3 and 4. The next two items on the agenda relate to the re-election of directors. The two directors standing for re-election at this meeting are Richard Shepherd and Gerard Bradley. The resolutions relating to their elections are ordinary resolutions, which require a majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote on the resolution or by their appointed proxy or authorised representative. Each of the directors, other than the relevant director standing for re-election, recommends the re-election of each of the other directors. I now turn to the individual directors. Firstly, Richard Shepherd. Item 3 of the agenda is the re-election of Mr. Richard Shepherd as the director of the company. Richard retires in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, offers himself for re-election. Richard joined the board as a non-executive director in March 2013 and was last elected at the 2013 AGM. Richard is currently chairman of the Investment and Capital Expenditure Review Committee. He is also a member of the Audit Committee and the Risk and Compliance Committee. Details of Richard's experience are included in the Director's Report section of the Annual Report. However, by way of a very brief overview, I note that Richard has over 30 years' experience in banking and finance prior to undertaking his directorship roles. As is customary for directors seeking election, I welcome Richard to address shareholders in attendance with a few words.
Thank you, John, and good morning, everybody. As the chairman mentioned, I've been on the board since early 2013, and as he also mentioned, my main background and experience is in the banking and finance sector, which includes a long career of over 30 years with Macquarie Group Limited, where I ended up some years ago as managing director and chief executive of Macquarie Bank Limited, which is the banking arm of the Macquarie Group. While there, I also chaired the boards of a number of Macquarie's listed entities, mainly in real estate and infrastructure, and for a period of time I also served as chairman of the Commonwealth Government's Financial Sector Advisory Council. In terms of current roles, I'm the chairman of another stock exchange listed entity, the Dexus Property Group, which manages some $22 billion of office, industrial and shopping centre properties around Australia. And I'm on the board of Snowy Hydro Limited, which operates the Snowy Mountains Hydroelectricity Scheme. I'm also a director of the Bradman Foundation, which operates the Bradman Museum in the town of Barrel outside Sydney, which was Don Bradman's hometown. Barrel is also my hometown, but unfortunately any similarities end there. My executive career in the banking and finance sector, combined with my involvement in previous and current directorships, provide me with, I think, relevant experience in to bring to your company, and I have found that there's a number of parallels between the banking sector and the gaming sector. Both of them are extensively regulated, and both involved substantial emphasis on risk management and financial management. My previous experience in banking is also relevant. As the chairman mentioned, I'm chairman of the group's capital and investment committee, expenditure committee, and as you've heard, the group is involved in some $5 billion of capital expenditure projects around the business, some of which involve joint ventures with our joint venture partners. And the role of the Capital and Investment Committee is to review those projects and then make recommendations, review those projects with management and then make recommendations as appropriate to the board and then to monitor their progress. And as John mentioned, I also sit on the Board Audit Committee and Risk Committee. So subject to your support today, I look forward to playing a continued role in your company. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Richard. Details of the valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. As indicated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of this resolution. Before moving the re-election of Richard Shepherd, are there any questions? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item three, that Richard Shepherd be re-elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the re-election of Richard as a director. As with item two, I have called a poll in respect in relation to this resolution, which will be taken at the end of the meeting. Again, if you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item three. Hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. Moving on to item four, re-election of Gerard Bradley as a director. Gerard retires in accordance with the company's constitution and, being eligible, offers himself for re-election. Gerard joined the board as a non-executive director in May 2013 and was last elected at the 2013 AGM. Gerard is currently chairman of the Risk and Compliance Committee. He is also a member of the Audit Committee, the Remuneration Committee and the Investment and Capital Expenditure Review Committee. Details of Gerard's experience are also included in the Director's Report section of the Annual Report. However, by way of a very brief overview, I note that Gerard has extensive experience in public sector finance and is currently the chairman of the Queensland Treasury Corporation. I welcome Gerard to the lectern to say a few words. Gerard.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pleased to have been a member of the Star Entertainment Group board since May 2013, which has been during a period of strong growth and development. My executive background lies in finance. I have over 30 years' experience in the Queensland and South Australian Treasury departments, including 14 years as Queensland's Under-Treasurer. I've previously served as the Chairman of the Board of Trustees at QSuper, and my previous non-executive board memberships include a number of major government financial and commercial companies. My former positions with Queensland Treasury involved responsibility for preparation and management of the state budget and the fiscal and economic development of the state. I've also had extensive commercial experience in infrastructure funding and restructuring of government entities. This understanding and experience with business and government, together with my finance background and qualifications, enabled me to provide input into the issues that are being considered by the Star Entertainment Group Board. I'm also currently the Chairman of the Queensland Treasury Corporation, which is the central borrowing authority for the Queensland public sector. I'm also a non-executive director of another ASX-listed company, Pinnacle Investment Management Group Limited, which is the leading Australian-based multi-affiliate investment management firm with over $20 billion invested across a diverse range of assets. I've also recently accepted a role as a director of the board of the Winston Churchill Memorial Trust, which oversees the trust role of providing Churchill fellowships for overseas study. Like the gaming sector, the financial services sector is also extensively regulated and involves heavy emphasis on risk management. My executive background in finance has provided me with the relevant experience that assists me in performing the role of chair of the Risk and Compliance Committee. With your support, I look forward to continuing to serve on the board of your company. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gerard. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect of this item of business are set out on the screen. As stated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of this resolution. Are there any questions on this item? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 4, that Gerard Bradley be re-elected as a director of the company. I confirm that the board fully supports the re-election of Gerard as a director. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either for or against box next to item 4 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. We can now proceed to the next item of business. Congratulations, Richard. Congratulations, Gerard. Thank you. Item 5. It relates to the proposal to grant performance rights to Mr. Matt Bekier, the company's Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. It's proposed that shareholders approve the grant to Matt of a long-term incentive award equivalent to $2.9 million, which equates to 548,204 performance rights. The notice of meeting contains significant detail about the performance rights proposed to be granted to Matt under the company's long-term performance plan. I do not propose to read aloud all the details of this meeting. However, I will now summarise the key elements. The notice of meeting sets out a formula for calculating the number of performance rights proposed to be granted to Matt based on a monetary dollar value divided by the moderated face value of a performance right, which is calculated as the price of the company's shares at the allocation date, which is the 5th of October 2016, less the value of any dividends foregone by the award holder during the vesting period. The moderated face value was calculated by an independent external consultant. As described in the notice of meeting, the number of performance rights is determined based on the formula of $2.9 million divided by the moderated face value of a performance right as at the 5th of October, which was $5.29 per performance right. The performance rights may vest on the 5th of October 2020, subject to the satisfaction of applicable performance hurdles. If the performance hurdles have not been met on that test date, then any unvested performance rights will lapse. The performance hurdles which apply in respect of the grant of these performance rights is relative total shareholder returns, TSR, and absolute earnings per share, EPS. Each performance hurdle will apply to 50% of the performance rights proposed to be granted to Matt. Details about the TSR and EPS performance hurdles are set out in the notice of meeting. The performance hurdles are the same for all other executives who will be granted performance rights under the company's long-term performance plan for the financial year ending 30th of June 2017. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect to this item of business are set out on the screen. As chairman of the meeting, I'm permitted to vote undirected proxies on this item if a shareholder has appointed me as their proxy and as provided by the shareholder voting form has expressly authorised me to vote on this item, even though the resolution is connected directly and indirectly with the remuneration of members of the key management personnel of the company. As stated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of this resolution. Some common shareholder questions we have received in relation to this resolution related to the reason for the significant increase in the size of the Managing Director and CEO's LTI allocation from $1.1 million approved at the 2015 AGM to the $2.9 million being sought at this AGM. The answer is the MD and CEO's remuneration is determined taking into account many factors, including the nature of the gaming, entertainment and hospitality business and the need to remain competitive to attract and retain talent necessary to run and grow the business. Remuneration levels across the comparable industry peers and ASX entities with a similar market cap to that of the Star Entertainment Group is taken into account when determining the level of remuneration appropriate for the Managing Director and CEO. The FY17 remuneration review for the MD and CEO resulted in a rebalance of his overall package towards equity and away from cash. This was to align a significant component of his indicative remuneration to shareholder returns. The result was a marginal fixed pay increase of 2.7% and a larger increase to his long-term incentive and equity award. The MD and CEO's long-term equity award now comprises 46% of his total indicative package. In FY16, this component was 25% of his total indicative package. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, Donald Grigson, shareholder.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Neill, with regard to the performance rights and options, what's the main difference between a performance right and an option?
Well, Sally?
The performance right is granted and will be tested against hurdles. This operates like a zero-priced option. So often an option will issue that you can exercise by paying a certain amount of money. In this case, this is like a zero-priced option, but you still have to meet performance hurdles.
So really, you've probably got a performance right taking over the option in corporate affairs now, do you?
Yes, performance share rights are becoming very common.
Because options in the past were really regarded as a rort in the end, weren't they?
No, I don't think that's the case. There are a number of ways you can structure options. We've elected to have performance share rights because it's a very common market practice and it's a vehicle that we can very appropriately build performance metrics around.
That's correct. That's why performance rights is coming into vogue now in corporations or public companies,
yeah.
Because options were giving a really bad name to the corporations. So you'll find that the public companies in the future will have performance rights instead of options.
That's the direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? As there are no more questions, I now move that approval be given to the grant of 548,204 performance rights to the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Matt Bekier, under the Star Entertainment Group Long-Term Performance Plan and on the basis described in the explanatory memorandum contained in the notice of meeting. Item 5 is an ordinary resolution which requires a majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote on the resolution or by their appointed proxy or authorised representative. The directors unanimously recommend that shareholders vote in favour of this resolution. As with previous items, a poll in relation to this resolution will be taken at the end of the meeting. Again, if you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 5 and hold on to your voting card until the end of the meeting. We will now proceed to the final item of business, item 6. Item 6 is seeking approval to increase the maximum annual aggregate amount or value of the remuneration payable to non-executive directors of the company to $2.5 million, which is an increase of $500,000 on the existing limit of $2 million. The $2 million limit has not changed since the company was listed on the ASX 5 years ago. The proposed increase of $500,000 is considered reasonable for various reasons, as set out in the explanatory memorandum to the notice of meeting. Details of valid proxies and direct votes in respect of this item of business are set out on the screen. As stated in the notice of meeting, I intend to vote all undirected proxies in favour of this resolution. Some common shareholder questions we have received in relation to this resolution relate to why payments to the non-executive directors need to increase. In answering that, I'd just like to clarify that the resolution in item 6 only relates to an increase in the maximum annual limit that is available to be paid or provided to all non-executive directors. The proposed increase does not imply that directors' fees will be increased up to that maximum amount. The board believes that the proposed increase is reasonable to provide flexibility to increase the size of the board and to maintain the company's ability to attract and retain high-calibre directors. The main reason and purpose for requesting shareholders to approve an increase to the fee pool is to accommodate the appointment of additional non-executive directors in the short to medium term. The board's decision to appoint up to two new NEDs, non-executive directors, is subject to attracting the right candidates. It's intended that the additional directors will have the appropriate qualifications, skills, experience and diversity to oversee the company's business and strategic direction, including providing additional support in relation to the Queen's Wharf Brisbane development and the redevelopment of the company's existing properties. Are there any questions on this item? As there are no questions, I now put the motion to approve item 6, that the maximum aggregate amount or value available to be paid or provided as remuneration of the non-executive directors for any financial year from and including the financial year ended 30th of June 2017 be increased by $500,000 from $2 million to $2.5 million per annum. Item 6 is an ordinary resolution which requires a majority of votes cast by shareholders entitled to vote on this resolution or by their appointed proxy or authorised representative. The directors unanimously recommend that shareholders vote in favour of this resolution. Again, it's a poll and now be conducted for this resolution as well as all the other items on the agenda. If you wish, you may mark your voting card now. Please tick either the for or against box next to item 6. Just in respect of the poll procedure, I confirm that we will now conduct a poll in relation to item 2, advisory resolution on the REM report, item 3, the re-election of Richard Shepherd as the director, 4, re-election of Gerard Bradley as the director, 5, grant of performance rights to the managing director and chief executive officer, Matt Beckier, and item 6, the increase in the maximum aggregate remuneration of non-executive directors. Upon entering the meeting, all shareholders and appointed proxy holders who are eligible to vote at this meeting received a green admission card. Your card is your ballot paper and contains all resolutions of this meeting. Proxy holders who hold open votes will need to record a vote in favour or against the resolution on the ballot paper. If the shareholder appointing the proxy has given directions on the proxy form as to how the proxy should vote, then the vote will already be recorded in accordance with that direction. You need only vote those open votes on the voting card. I ask that if you have not already done so, you record your vote by placing a mark in the box either for or against each resolution. Once you have completed the voting paper, you may place it into one of the ballot boxes held by the share registry staff or place it in one of the ballot boxes near the exit doors. The independent scrutineer appointed for the poll will conduct a review of the poll papers and procedures before the determination of the results is made. The results of the poll will be advised to the ASX as soon as possible after the meeting. There being no further business, that concludes this year's annual general meeting, and I would sincerely like to thank all of you for your attendance and support. We really appreciate the support of our shareholders, and we'll continue to do our utmost to work steadfastly in the interest of shareholders. I invite you all to stay and join me, my fellow directors and members of the executive management team for refreshments which we served in Cucino Vivo upstairs on the lobby level. Fantastic renovation there. You'll enjoy it. You can either go up the escalators behind the concierge or take the hotel lifts. The Jupiters team will be outside to assist with directions to the restaurant. Again, the meeting is closed. Thank you very much for your attendance.